Alberto Lopez Vives is an anthropologist with the National Institute of Anthropology and History in Mexico City and a frequent contributor to La Jornada, a Mexican progressive daily newspaper. Welcome, Alberto Lopez Vives. Welcome to the program. You have said, quote, that the government is making a mockery of democracy in Mexico, especially given a history of stolen elections in Mexico, and apparently much of Mexico agrees with you and is not prepared to let it happen again. The response of Andrés Manuel López Obrador and his supporters seems to be without precedent anywhere, and particularly so the extraordinary developments that took place Saturday in Mexico City. Let's start with there and work backwards.
Yes, okay.
Yes.
Well, let me tell you that it was very impressive to see, to witness the convention with more than 1 million of persons who voted by hand, first at all to not recognize Felipe Calderón as a legitimate president, and then as a result of this resolution recognizing López Obrador as a legitimate president. This is something that is going to change the political scenario of Mexico. No doubt on that. It was different what the media in the United States is saying about what is happening in Mexico. It is not that those millions are the left proclaiming a person president of Mexico. In that multitude, you have all kind of people. You have Democrats, nationalists, obviously people from the left. But I think it is a mistake to describe those people as being part only of the left wing perspective of Mexico. You have all kind of persons there, particularly the people who defend the right for voting and the right to have a institution who respect the will of citizens. So also you have the victims of the neoliberal policies in Mexico, all kind of middle classes, lower classes who suffer what has been Mexico, the neoliberal model. You have also left wing organizations, and you have of course persons including persons who participate in the Partido Acción Nacional, as the case of a woman who declared that she was ashamed of participating in Acción Nacional, and so for before on from what all happened in Mexico, and that she was there in the convention. So I think this convention has to take a serious consideration of analysts in the United States. My perspective is that the media in the United States is mistaking what is happening in Mexico, with the exception of journalists like John Ross and others who describe very well what is happening. The big media is ignoring or falsifying what is happening in Mexico. This is a real movement. It's a legitimate movement who are declaring the rupture of the constitution and the law and the state of law in Mexico. Is not the people of the convention. Is the ruling classes, the actual government, leading by the President Fox, and all these institutions who describing themselves with the actions. So we are not in the illegality or illegitimate. And I use the we because obviously I participate Monday in this convention. And it's what I saw there, a heavy rain, and without the movement or escaping of the thousands of citizens there in a very historic and extraordinary behavior in which they demonstrate civility and consciousness in Mexico. This has to take seriously by the media in the United States.
What was extraordinary is that the protests, the tent cities, all has been very peaceful, and it's simply an unprecedented situation in any other country. Even given Mexico's long history of struggle and revolution, it's even unprecedented in Mexico.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I have assisted to several of these demonstrations with thousands, one of them with almost 2 million of persons. And you don't have any incident, no one window broken, no people, not fighting. It was a fraternity, cordiality, solidarity. That was the expression of all these meetings. Also, there were so many people there. The behavior of the people was completely pacific. So it is a movement, of course, who do not want changes for the violence means, and that they are decided that they are not going to accept Calderon as a president. So this is something to take into consideration.
Well, certainly the United States simply could not allow someone such as López Obrador to be elected, particularly given the situation of Venezuela and Bolivia, but with Chavez and Morales. But even without them, the U.S. has controlled Mexico, even much as a neo-colony, even before NAFTA, with the oppressed hombres, Americans or Mexicans being fronted for U.S. companies there. That whole history is something that most Americans have no idea of.
Yes, I agree with you. I think that the United States, as in other regions of the world, the government of the United States is in favor of the corporation, of the established power, against the will of the people, against democracy, and all these powers together with the government of the United States, they do not want any changes in Mexico. They want the continuation of this system who has produced that the period 7% of the population own is 60% of the national wealth. We have almost 50% of the population in poverty and in extreme poverty. We have the middle classes already proletarized. So these are the basis of this movement. I think what you have in this movement are the victims of the NAFTA projects and the victims of these capitalist systems who are producing this crisis in the institutions and this crisis of what I call the world democracy. This world democracy in which it is good if the corporation win. It is bad if the corporation lose. So That is what is happening in Mexico. Of course, that the government of the United States is behind Calderón, behind Fox. Already, Calderón is affirming that he is going to support the United States in the so-called struggle against terrorism. That is an euphemism to describe what is the preventive war against all opposite forces to this interest of the United States in the war. So I think that the movement in Mexico go against this kind of forces and this kind of struggle that you can see in the world, in all regions of the world.
What's extraordinary is thinking back to 1968, what happened in Tlatelolco and elsewhere in Mexico, and I was down there at the time, that the army, obviously there's much sympathy with López Obrador and his positions among the military. So the fact, even if a demonstration is sometimes peaceful, an army will attack it. The fact that the military was not used seems to me to be a representative of the power that López Obrador and his supporters actually have in Mexico, and Calderón knows it.
I think it's true. If you analyze all the ballots, the regions in which the militaries voted, you have that majority of the military people, I am talking about the troops, voting in favor of Obrador. He has the support of many of the army members, but of course that the superior authorities of the army are in favor of Calderón, and they don't want another October 2. Now, but they are preparing paramilitary groups, of course illegal paramilitary groups, to be used in case in which the power ordered them to go into action. And I was in Tlatelolco. And we witness the actions of these paramilitary groups. I don't know if you remember the Olympic battalion,
yes,
who were composed by civilians who attacked the students before the troops go into Tlatelolco. So this is something that could happen and is happening now in Oaxaca. The paramilitary action you have also in Chiapas. I have described in some of my books these paramilitary action groups who are acting in Guerrero, in Oaxaca, and in other states of the Republic. And we have information that the right-wing groups like the Juncker are preparing young people from right-wing perspective in these paramilitary groups or actions to be taken into consideration in the next future.
Well, Calderón today is trying to shift the attention away from the elections to Oaxaca, which he says is Mexico's main problem. This is began with a teacher strike. Perhaps you could expand it. Perhaps you can describe to listeners what happened and what's the history of the struggle in Oaxaca now.
Well, Oaxaca, you can understand Oaxaca from the point of view of the power. And from that point of view, Oaxaca is a problem. But for the perspective of the left, Oaxaca could be the future of Mexico. It's a kind of Paris Commune, in which the people, simple people, is governing themselves, and is based on a tradition of centuries, of years and years of community governments, autonomous governments. So Oaxaca today is an example of what could happen in Mexico if this movement has a victory in the future. Of course, for the ruling classes, Oaxaca is a danger, as López Obrador is a danger for them. So, but for us, Oaxaca is an example of in which the people, without bureaucracy, without any kind of party, could govern themselves. Without, you know, in Oaxaca, the APO, the Asamblea Popular de los Pueblos de Oaxaca, is a very representative instance of government. And in there, they don't, it is not a paid functionary, it's a simple citizen who are representing other citizens. And of course that Oaxaca is in danger of being repressed by the army. There is the real danger that in the near weeks, Oaxaca will be attacked by the army or by the paramilitary groups or by the combination of all these factors together.
Well, it's interesting because there's relatively little news from Mexico in the U.S. press compared to when you're in Mexico and you read the Mexican press. There was so much more going on in Mexico in relations also to the United States, but in the United States you very rarely see the real news from Mexico. It gets very filtered down for the American reader, and given the number of Mexican Americans in the United States and the importance of Mexico to our economy, and it's an extraordinary position that the Americans have. So North Americans who are not of Mexican ancestry have very, very little information about what is happening in Mexico, and this is obviously not an accident. It's important to keep the history of the relations between the two countries obviously secret, but one of the things that is interesting is the way the U.S. immediately, and President Bush immediately recognized Calderon as the president even before the Electoral Commission had met. Who makes up the Electoral Commission and who appoints it?
Well, that commission was appointed by the only two parliamentarian forces. That means the PRI and the PAN, or in other words, the right and the extreme right of Mexico appoint these persons there. They are accomplished of a leader, Elbester Gordillo, is a teacher's leader. It's a shame that the teacher has that leader, but it is the leader of the union, the teaching union. And she organized this show with the help of the PRI governors and the PAN governors, and with the help of teachers who participate in this union, obviously corporated teachers, they organized it for at the national level. They were the ones who changed the ballots, who go into the changing of the acts and the falsification of the documents. And was obviously supported by the functionaries who were named by the very ones who organized the floor outside of the branch of the government of the state that was in charge of the electoral process. So we have here what we call a coup d'etat, an electoral coup d'etat. And who were the troops of this coup d'etat? The media. The media. Those were the soldiers, metaphorically speaking, the soldiers of the coup d'etat. You have all these editorials in the written press, in the television, in the radio, who lie all the time, who editorialize all the news, who speak with false representations, and I call them, I don't know the name in English, los sicarios de la información. That means the people who are paid to kill other persons. And in this respect, it's very important to understand this kind of democracy that in the United States and Mexico and in all the capitalist countries is acting. It's a democracy in which the people have the right to be ignorant of what's happening in their own country and in all the countries of the world. I am not surprised that in the United States the people of the street do not know nothing about Mexico, because that is the role of the media. The role of the media is to lie, to manipulate, to mediaticize all the conscience of the people to think as the ruling class. Even if you are poor, you have to think and to act according to what the will of the ruling class. So that is happening in Mexico. Of course, in Mexico we have newspapers like La Jornada, in which I work. That is completely different. This is something that we have as a treasure in Mexico. Yesterday, La Jornada fulfilled 22 years of a very objective information role that is playing in Mexico, and that does do not exist in the United States. You don't have in the United States a national newspaper that circulates in all the United States with this left perspective. You know that I am from the left, and I write in La Jornada since about more than 10 years ago. So that is not possible in the United States. This is something that is it is very serious for the progressive views in the United States, that you don't have a national newspaper who represent what is happening in Iraq, for example, or in Afghanistan, or what is the real facts of the struggle against terrorism. For example, for the people of the world, the main terrorist in Earth is called George Bush. That is the main terrorist. He is a danger for humanity. And, of course, that could not be written in a newspaper, in a national newspaper in the United States.
No, that's true. The United States is one of the few, even, let's say, so-called developed countries that does not have a national newspaper. In Italy, you have about 9 national newspapers from left to right, and every place you go in Italy in the morning, whether it's in Sardinia or Sicily on an island, the newspapers are all there, and at least you have an opportunity to see and read a variety of political perspectives you simply don't have in the United States.
No, that's very sad, because of course, that there are forces in the United States who are in favor of peace, in favor of progressive ideas, in favor of another kind of a system beside the capitalist systems. But of course, they don't have the voice. They don't have the possibility of expressing themselves in the media. And that is a shame, I think.
Now, you have Calderon promising to continue the policies of the U.S. neoliberal policies and NAFTA. And the other day, he was talking about using the state of Michoacán as an example of an economic success. But in Northern California, for at least the past decade, I would say at least 90% of the immigrants in Mexico come from Michoacan. I teach in schools, and both in the Bay Area and up here, and my students, most of them invariably come from some part of Michoacan, which I happen to know. And I find it very interesting that Calderon can claim Michoacan is a great economic success when obviously the economic situation is so bad for so many of its inhabitants that they have to emigrate to the United States.
Yeah, that's true. Michoacan, Zacatecas, Guanajuato are ones of the states in which the immigration, historically speaking, produce the most of the migrants to the United States. But it is the same illusion that folks sustain until now. You know that during this government, some analysts calculated that about between 3 or 5 million of Mexicans immigrate to the United States due to the fact of NAFTA. And of the economic situation in the country. So folks do not fulfill any of the promise of the election campaign he has. And also, but what he fulfilled is all the program the United States has regarding Mexico. So I think Calderon is going to be a continuation of Fox policies, unfortunately. But I think also that probably Calderon is not going to finish his government. Millions of Mexicans are very decided, and they have the will of avoid Calderon first to take government. And if he take government by the help of the army, we will work against this government. It is not the impression of a follower of the PRD or a follower of López Obrador. It's the impression of many people who think that we cannot have a president, an spurious president again, like Salinas. Two spurious presidents in less than 20 years is too much for the Mexican people.
Salinas is the man who just took away the rights of the hero and opened up the doors or whatever restrictions were left for foreign, particularly American capital, to come in and plunder the country.
Yes, that is true. And Salinas also was the person who intellectually speaking and factually speaking, he was in the fraud conspiration with El Bester. He was one of the main leaders of this coup d'etat, this electoral coup d'etat.
Well, we see.
Listen, I have to go to a meeting.
Yes,
I have the pleasure of talking to you, and I congratulate to have you on the other line. And I feel very sorry because I have to go to that appointment to have.
Well, Alberto López Rivas, we appreciate very much your taking the time to speak with us today, and good luck, and we'll be checking with you again.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.